I want to welcome everybody to West Valley Presbyterian Church. We are so glad and honored that you are here to worship with us this morning. My name is Todd Misfelt. Pastor Kim is gone. She's with a group of us in the Holy Land. And in fact, the picture you see on the screen behind me is from Brenda Gibbs, one of our own, and her picture of the Wailing Wall around the temple platform in Jerusalem. So we trust they're having a great time, and we'll hear all about this. So now, let us gather together and worship our Lord, who is faithful and whose love endures forever.
Creator God, we marvel at your universe, of your handiwork that speaks each moment of your goodness. The sun rises at your commands, the stars move at your word, the rain comes and blesses our fields so that we may feed ourselves and others. The complexity of molecules, the grandeur of mountain ranges, the spaciousness of our skies tell of an infinitely creative Lord whose joy is to love his creation. Too often we ignore your glory, Lord, and dismiss your commands to move and speak and love. How many times this week have we not sought you and your counsel, believing we were self-sufficient and in charge of our lives? How bitter and envious and judgmental we have been in our hearts, and how much these sins have infected our relationships with our family, our friends, our neighbors, and with you. In your generosity, Lord, you have placed us in a time and a place of great wealth and unprecedented freedom. Yet we crave more and constantly look to see your boundaries. Forgive us our greed and lack of trust in your provision. Forgive us for flouting your commandments. Forgive our ingratitude and selfishness. You know each of our shabby actions, dear Jesus, and yet you do not keep a score. Instead, you call to us to turn against you, to turn again to you, to exchange our long list of failures for your spotless, wholehearted obedience to the Father. Thank you for your unconditional forgiveness that freely flows from your loving heart. Thank you for this church community and each person you have brought here, not by chance, but by your purpose. Thank you for their various talents and servant hearts that work to build your body in the neighborhoods and our schools and our workplaces. Thank you that you provide all that we need at the right time, in the right manner, so that your church on this corner and around the world will thrive. We ask your healing for those in our church family who are struggling with serious illness, whether it be in body or mind or spirit. Your power overcomes all brokenness, and we are grateful for your restoration. We grieve today with Cynthia Blank in the loss of her husband Jeff yesterday. We pray your gentle presence will comfort her and her two sons throughout the coming days and weeks. Help us to walk alongside her in her sorrow. We think of the lives lost and families devastated by the hurricanes in Texas and Florida and the earthquake in Mexico. Encourage the millions touched by those disasters, Lord, and strengthen them in the task of rebuilding. Bring your people alongside them to care for them and to assist in the long recovery ahead. We ask for wisdom for our world leaders, for your peace and justice to prevail over prejudice, fear, and misguided pride. Give them the willingness to listen and weigh consequences as they govern for the sake of your children around the world. We ask in humble gratitude, Lord God, knowing that you care for us and because you taught us to pray simply, as Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's message is from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, and also through Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them with you, sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. In Matthew, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbors as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is the Lord God's Lord's words.
Thank you, Sam, for that reading. So today we're starting a new sermon series on West Valley Presbyterian Church's core values. Now, our core values help us to connect ourselves with God and with the people around us. West Valley's core values are radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. They're on our website. We give them to new members. But what do they mean to us? You know, and how can they really help us in our faith? Well, to begin with, you know, before we get into how these values relate to us personally, I want to take a step back and look at the term core values. And some of you may not be familiar with this. And so I did a search in the Bible. I looked for the phrase core value. And it was not in any of the 43 different translations of the Bible that I looked at. But if you have worked for a large company, the term core values may sound very familiar to you. In the 90s, it was popular for companies to define what their core values are. There are books like Built to Last by Collins and Press said, you know, that a company has to have these core values defined so all of their employees can work together kind of towards a common goal. They're not fighting against each other, but there's this common set of tenets, beliefs that they're working for. Now, Collins and Porras define core values as the organization's essential and enduring tenets, a small set of guiding principles. And this was the same thing that Thomas Watson, CEO of IBM, said earlier in 1963. And he called these things beliefs. And many well-known companies have defined their beliefs. And I'm not going to go into this too much. But, you know, Sam Walton of Walmart said that we put the customer first ahead of everything. Gamble of Procter & Gamble said that if we can't make pure goods a full weight, we should do something else, even if it's the manual labor of breaking stone. So if we go to the Bible with this idea of kind of what core values are, we can look at the Old Testament's version, the Shema, which Sam just read for us. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9 is called the Shema because Shema is a Hebrew word that begins the passage. And Shema means to observe, to keep, to discharge, you know, keep and do it. So it's really a command. It says, you know, pay attention to this stuff. And the Shema says there is only one God, right? And to love your God with all your heart and all your soul, to remember the Lord's commandments. And not only that, but to pass them on to your children and to put them where you can see them, you know, on your body, your doorframe, your gate going out. And unlike commandments, which can be both positive and negative, these are all positive because our core values are positive statements of what we should do. Now, notice the Shema says to always keep our core values in front of us. And that is why we're going over our core values again. We did this a few years ago, but to be effective, we've got to keep them in front of us because one time is not enough. Because we have to keep ourselves aligned with God. Because if we forget that, we may sin and fall away from God, which is not what we want. And the Old Testament gives us examples of, in fact, people who did not keep these values in front of them. We have King David, who forgot the Shema in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. And not only did he ignore the commandment to not covet his neighbor's wife, but he also ignored the commandment to not commit murder when he had Uriah killed. And even his son Solomon, despite a great start being very close to God, later in his life, in 1 Kings chapter 11, says that God became angry with him because he built high places to other gods. So these two gentlemen are examples why if we're to be faithful Christians, we must keep our core values in front of us. And the Old Testament is not the only place that we see core values. Jesus stated the New Testament version of this in the greatest commandment, which Sam also read, Matthew chapter 22. And the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart. Secondly, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if I've convinced you that we need to remember our core values, you may ask, well, why do we need five of them? You know, can it just be something as simple as, well, I just want to love Jesus? Well, there's no one here going to argue with the fact that we should love Jesus, right? I think that's kind of all why we're here. But people need, you know, a little bit more detail on that if they're going to be working together. Too much detail gets to be overwhelming. Too little detail gets to be more like a motto than what we're calling core values here. So at West Valley, we have chosen five as a right number of core values to have. And it both, again, keeps us working together and keeps us from drifting away from our focus. And our core values must also be clear enough that they can be testable, that we know that we're in fact following them. And additionally, they must stand the test of time. So West Valley's core values connect to Jesus's two commandments, the first and the second commandment. And this is kind of a little graphic. I'm a graph person, so this is the way I think. So you have my apologies. But we can notice that Jesus says not only what we should do, but he says how we should do it. You know, because if it was just obey God, then you start getting legalistic, what the Pharisees and the Sadducees that were trying to trick Jesus when they asked him the question about, well, you know, what is it? You know, because, well, is it this or that? And, you know, and to do this, that's why Jesus didn't just say love God, but to love God with everything about you. There's no limit there. There's no boundary what not loving God is. You've got to be all the way in. So in the same way, West Valley, we could have just said our core values are, well, we value friendliness and worship, faithfulness, missions and service and giving. That would be a pretty good list, wouldn't it? But it's missing that part of the greatest commandment, that kind of that adjective. This is just a collection of nouns. And like Jesus, we have included kind of an adjective with our nouns. We say it's radical hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, risk-taking mission and service, and extravagant generosity. You know, West Valley shows our love of God and neighbor through these practice, these five values. And they challenge us to go beyond the ordinary, you know, because their application is not static, but it's new every day. If you're passionate about something, it's not just been there, done that, but you keep at it. And every day, the Holy Spirit puts new opportunities in front of us, shows us new things that we can do to connect to our neighbor and to connect to God. And some of those things that the Spirit calls us to do may not be very comfortable. The Holy Spirit calls us out of our comfort zone and challenges us to do what we think is uncomfortable. Let me give you some examples. For radical hospitality, do we sit quietly when we are with others? Or do we engage those around us? When we eat, do we eat alone? Or do we invite others to eat with us? I'm reminded of a fellow in a church we used to go to before West Valley. Mark Boone was his name. And he had what he called a hospitality ministry. He was from the South, so he had a nice Southern accent going too. But what he would do is every Sunday, he made sure he was having lunch with someone from the church, visitor or member. They were either going out to eat or he was inviting them into his home. That's hospitality. And last month at the refuge, I'll give you another example. Is a refuge is a place where West Valley goes and we serve meals to the homeless. And my wife Celeste had sat at a table while she ate and engaged with conversation with the people there. And then there's music and singing and a little worship service. But then as she was leaving, she walked back to the table and she said goodbye to the people at the table. And someone said, wow, that's the first time anyone who has been serving with us has come by and said anything to us instead of just leaving. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Because the people you serve see. It's why you have to be extravagant and go outside of your comfort zone. But what about worship? Passionate worship. Is our worship just isolated? We come to church, we sit in our own little cocoon, we sing the songs, we get up, stand up. Or are we connecting to God? And we are connecting to the people around us, to your left and right, in front and in back of you. You know, is it just a habit, something you check off that, okay, I've done that, now I can go watch the game or whatever? Or is it something that you look forward to every week? That, yes, I want to go to worship. I want to get revitalized in worship. I want to connect to God with others as only we can do in worship. And is it only what we get out of worship, the entertainment I get, or is what we put into worship? I think that's what's being passionate about it. It's that connection. Intentional faith development. Is our faith, is it just growing our own faith? Or is it also helping other people grow their faith too? You know, with children, you know, in Bible studies, small groups. That helps other people grow their faith. Is our faith development static? Do we know everything? You know, have you read this book before? You think you know everything in it? Or is it new every day? I mean, for me, this Bible is like the first collaborative document. Because I swear, every time I pick this up and read it, there are things in here that weren't in there last time. You know, because the Spirit shows us stuff in here. And we read it in the context of where we are right now. And that's why we have to be intentional about it, not just static. Is our mission, is our risk-taking mission and service, is that just static? Okay, we do it. Kind of like going to service, check it off, service. Okay, I've done that. Now I can go off and do whatever else I want in the week. You know, we just do what's comfortable. Or do we go out and we do what is uncomfortable? Do we serve at Crash Zone and talk to those scary junior hires? You know, scary for me, right? Or when we go to the Refuge or to City Team or any other service worship projects, do we engage with the people that we serve, even if they seem different from us? That's risk-taking, right? You're risking yourself. You know, and when you serve them too, even the people around you, do you go visit shut-ins and the people who are sick in the church? Lastly, with our generosity, is there giving static, you know, just write the check every week or every month? Or have you been paying attention to Doug's series on giving? You know, how are you reconsidering how you're giving? Do you give just money, or do you give your time? Do you give your passion to church? You know, it's not just one-dimensional. And do we give only when others see us? Put that envelope in the plate as it comes around? Or do we give when only God sees us? If you give when only God sees us, I think that's extravagant. And if you serve when only God sees you, that's, again, that's you being extravagant with your time. So we can see how each one of these values connects to, each one of these actions connects to multiple values. So, for example, you're inviting someone to your Bible study, maybe being involved in risk-taking mission, intentional faith development, and demonstrating hospitality. So a few years ago, when we looked at our core values, we used this image of a cross. And we can see that the image shows how these values get connected. They're connected to Jesus, and they ultimately come together in Christ. So you can look at it that our values are a puzzle that fit together, that make up our living faith, not a static faith. So my challenge for you this week is to look at what you do, what your actions are, and compare them to West Valley's core values. Now, I've given you an insert here in the bulletin, which I forgot to bring up. In one of the inserts, there's a form that looks like this. And this is, again, I'm a visual person. If it doesn't make sense for you, do it whatever makes sense for you. But I suggest on the right left-hand column, you write down five of your activities. And then draw a line to how those activities connect to West Valley's core values. So, for example, you might write down, I attend Sunday worship. I know you can all do that, right? You're here. And so, okay, well, that connects to passionate worship. So after writing this down, take a step back and look at it. Do you need more activities? Well, think about what more I can be doing. And maybe like this, maybe it doesn't map strongly enough to your core value. It just kind of maps to the noun, I attend worship, but it's not passionate worship. So if that's the case, then that's a clue. Become more passionate about your worship. Perhaps your giving is weak. You know, then give more of your money. Give more of your time. There are plenty of opportunities to serve in this church and in the community and in other things. But give of yourself. Perhaps you don't engage others around in the service. You know, you're not being as hospitable as you should. Well, so make it a point to, you know, greet somebody you don't know or walk up to somebody who looks like they could really use a friend today. They still show up and they're around you. But for that radical hospitality, you have to step out. And that may be uncomfortable, but that's okay. That's okay. You kind of see how this works? You've kind of got both the noun of what we do and the adjective that really brings it alive. And it's good to bring it alive. It's good to be uncomfortable, because to do stuff that's outside our comfort zone is important for a faith that is alive, as ours should be. And lastly, just notice that there's no numbers to our core values. So one of them is not any more important than the other. Just like any way of loving God is not more or less important than any other way. So you may ask, you know, how do we determine what to add to my list? Well, listen to the Holy Spirit. Pray for guidance. You know, look for opportunities that may just drop in your lap. You know, you meet someone who's down, or you meet someone you don't know. Grab the ring and go for it. Go for it. You can meditate on the great commandments. How can I love God more? How can I love my neighbor as myself? But above all, trust God that these activities, these going out of your comfort zone, will be more comforting and will lead us to grow closer to Jesus and to further his kingdom. Now, we certainly have a good example of demonstrating West Valley's core values in Jesus. For instance, radical hospitality. You know, Jesus was accused of associating with sinners and tax collectors by the Pharisees, right? Isn't that stepping out? He invites children to him in Matthew chapter 19, and children were supposed to be, you know, left alone, leave the adults alone. In John 13, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. And throughout Scripture, Jesus heals strangers. He's touching the untouchable, the outcasts of society. And passionate worship. And many times in Scripture, we're told that Jesus prayed. And in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22, Jesus says that being in anguish, that Jesus prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And in John 17, Jesus prays for us that we would know the Father as he knows the Father. In other words, do what Jesus does. Intentional faith development. From the beginning of his ministry, Jesus is teaching his disciples and the crowds. And through the Scripture, he's still teaching us at this moment. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, 19, that whoever preaches and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So we have to do our intentional faith development for others as well as for ourselves. A risk-taking mission and service. Jesus certainly came into this world to serve. Mark 10:45, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve." And Jesus tells us to risk everything for him. In Matthew 16:25, he says, "Whoever who wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." And lastly, extravagant generosity. You know, Jesus gives us eternal life. In John 10:28, "I give them," that's us as sheep, "eternal life, and they shall never perish." And Jesus not only risked everything for us, but he paid the ultimate price for us. You know, with an example like Jesus, how can we not want to grow in our faith and to practice those adjectives, to be passionate, radical, intentional, be risk-taking, be extravagant in what we do? How can we not want to be more like Jesus? So let me recap. Our core values help us connect ourselves to God and to each other. They're a small set of values that keep us aligned with God and keep us from drifting away from what God wants. There's kind of both the noun and an adjective part, what we do and how we do it. And they challenge our faith, challenging the faith that is alive should be. And lastly, I want to challenge you this week to look at your own actions, map them to West Valley's core values, and see where you are called to grow, where you are called to be alive and to grow your faith. So please join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, you have shown us how you gave everything for God. You have left us instructions so that we might also give our all to God. Open our hearts. Show us where we need to go, because our desire is to grow closer to you. And we pray that through the Holy Spirit, we will see what we should do today and each day for the rest of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' loving name. Amen. So now, may you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the blessing, both now and until the day of eternity. Amen.